Hey, Sal, this is really some good whiskey you stuck me on. The 100% Kentucky bourbon whiskey.
150 proof?
No. Imagine that. You get some people like they drink during the day, like they wake up in the morning and then and for breakfast they have beer and drink. Oh! Remember the apostles, they accused them of being drunk?
Yeah.
When was that?
Pentecost
Day.
Oh, yeah,
what time was it?
9 o'clock,
wasn't it? In the morning?
Yeah.
Well, didn't they say it was known? That's known, right?
No, Pierce was 9.
Pierce was 9. Yeah. But wasn't it 9?
I think
it was 9 in the morning, right? The Holy Spirit jumped on him at 9 in the morning. What a wonderful thing when the Holy Spirit jumps on you. Name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Today's the fifth month, the fourth day of the year 2025. It's the second Lord's Day after the resurrection which the Lord hath made.
Let us be glad and rejoice.
And it's the feast day of the great Saint Monica.
Pray for us.
Well, we have all these great saints, of course, the true saints. All right, what else do we got? Oh, what was the... What was... Oh, for the crowning, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Huh?
Memorization verse.
Yeah, memorization verse. And I even forgot it. This is the Nicolai knows it. It's the last one on a free will. It's the last one, right? On free will.
Come nigh to God and God will come nigh to you.
James come nigh to God 8. And God will come nigh to you. That's James 4:8. And the parallel verse is Zacharias 1:3. Turn to me, saith the Lord, and I will turn to you. Turn to me, saith the Lord, and I will turn to you. And how do you turn to God? By the three pillars, prayer, penance, and studying in the Catholic faith. If you leave out any one of those, you're not turning to God. If you just pray and you do penance, but you're not studying and learning the Catholic faith, you're not turning to God.
Yes, exactly.
So you pray and do penance to get the grace to do what? To study, to learn. How can you love God if you don't know who He is? How can you love God if you don't read about Him? So you really got to put an effort on all the three pillars, and some people may want to do the reading, but they're not doing the praying. So then when they're reading, they're not able to understand the proper context. I think Joshua says in 1:8, one of the verses, it says, Joshua 1:8, let not the book of the law depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night, that thou mayest observe and do all things that are written in it, then shalt thou direct thy way and understand it. So you need to do the three pillars. You got to be careful, slow. You got to really sit down there and fall in love with God. And you can't do that unless you read about Him. There's no way. I said it a million, you can't love somebody you don't know. So I don't care. You can pray all you want. You can do. We grew up as nominal Catholics. We didn't know God. Well, we went to Mass. We loved the Gregorian chant. Let's say you even went to Mass every day, like a lot of people, but you don't read the scriptures, the Holy Bible. You don't study the faith. You don't even know who He is. You ain't get the faintest idea. You know, like when we look at the Chosen and they're caught in the Old Testament verses that refer to Christ, and they're presuming you know it, because prophets do read the Bible. Well, we know it. It's beautiful. Our parents, our nominal Catholics, sit back and go, what's he talking about? I have no idea. You want to save your souls. Those are the three things you want to do. If you don't do it, you go to Gehenna forever and burn with all the devils and damn humans. That's the end of it. All right, now let's see. Let's go with the announcements. Wait, who's that other? Who's the guy that's posting our stuff over here? Yeah. Phil, what's his name?
Gordon Duff.
Gordon Duff?
Oh, yeah,
is he on here?
Put him on there. Yeah.
And we'll put him on a permanent one, too.
Yeah, we got to print that one out again.
We got this guy in Iceland on the Intel report who's posting our Holocaust things. You guys online didn't hear this because you weren't here yesterday with us talking the other day. So I'll tell you, we're talking about this Holocaust thing is actually a bonus for us.
Yeah.
It's a plus, plus, plus bonus. Remember how God says all things work together on the good to those who serve God, Romans 8, 30 or 23?
28.
28?
Yeah.
But anyway, the way it's going to turn out for us to be good, because when we expose it, we're the ones who are going to blow it. God, we're doing it. See, here's another thing, all right? Even if I didn't write about it, and we just, our prayers, and all our prayers, all the graces we're gaining here, is allowing guys like Stu Peters and other people to start talking about the Holocaust and the Jews. Our prayers are lifting the veil off of them.
Yeah.
And the devil knows that. So that's number one why he's angry at us. First, because our prayers are making the grace available for people in the world to lift that veil so they can expose the Jews. That's even if they don't know about us.
But the devil knows about us. And all the high-level evildoers know about us. And they know that the power in this world now is coming from God through us to the world. And that's why he's real angry at us. Because that, and it's starting to open up the eyes of people. That's, people don't even know about us. Now, add the double bonus about people who, when they do learn about us, and when they finally do come over to the website, and when they finally start looking at what we're saying, and the devil knows that's going to happen too. And why I'm saying that now is because we're already looking at the beginning of this, where Stu Peters is posting up Brother Will's the briefs that I'm doing, one at a time. Brother Phil's sending this guy, it's the second brief he sent him, and he's on the Intel report. He's publishing it. So now he's publishing the briefs on the Hall of Hoax. And by looking, here's my point on the Hall, how it's going to work to our benefit. Once you explode the Hall of Hoax, then you explode the Jews, period. They're going to look at everything the Jews did and say, these guys are bastards. Look how bad they are. These guys are so bad. Because you're exposing the number one evil doors. And at the same time, when you're posting this up, because you're interested in exposing the Hall of Hoax, Stu Peters, Gordon Duff, they're going to look at it, and I send them to my site. So they're going to go to my site, and they're going to look at it, and you say, not only does Rich, a good old person's going to say this, not only does Rich expose the Hall of Hoax, but he's got the whole picture when it comes about replacing the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, how the Jews are now the victims. So I got stuff even they don't have, along with all the stuff that they do have. That's good. So it's a bonus when they get hear me saying it, and I'm sending them over to my website, and then they're going to go like this, a good old person, let me see what he says about the Jews in his apostate Judaism conspiracy section. Let me see what he says about this. Let me see what he's... This guy's Catholic. He doesn't go along. And that's going to convert... See what I mean? This whole hoax thing is God's using the Holocaust to convert people by us exposing it. Because it's a big deal. Other people see it. They see that we're doing it. And it's going to lead them to study and learn more about what we're saying. So the devil, I mean, think about this. He worked for 1,000 years. He's been working on the great apostasy. 1,000 years. Very diligent. Getting his way. One thing after another. But he knows, like, what God's going to use us to blow the lid off all that stuff. And once God does a miracle, it's going to undo everything he did in the last 1,000 years. And once you undo what he did with the Holocaust, and people realize how the Jews lied, and they come to my site, they're going to say, let me look what else he's teaching. Because he's not teaching what these so-called Catholics are teaching in Rome. And they're going to say, hey, look, he's saying this thing started in the year 1000. And they're going to start studying. And then when God does a miracles for us, which is going to happen, it's all over, Satan. It's all over, you satanic Jews and Freemasons and you other bastards that have been working hard for 1,000 years. You know, they're in their lodges, they say that. You know, oh, this is not for our generation. And they know it. They're diligent. They are. They're diligent in doing evil. And they're patient. And they'll say, we're going to wait centuries before this can happen. And they built this thing up, and it's going to crumble right through us. Good. For goodwill, for badwill people, no. They're going to stay with the Antichrist. But we're not here for them. We're not here for them. Bad willed people, you go where you deserve. But for the good willed people, it's going to blow the lid off of these people and all their conspiracies. And let me tell you something. 9/11, too, that's another one. That's big. That's another miracle. You got the Senate guy looking into 9/11. So once you blow the lid off the whole of these conspiracies that the Jews are behind, then you're going to have people taking a look at these dates, because these current day Jews are the number one evildoers. You're going to unmask them. And we were talking about that before. People who don't, if you don't expose these conspiracies to the Jews, the Dimer brothers don't say anything, that Michael McCarthy, the Mitzvah guy, the madman guy, the future, back to the future guy, he's a wacko. He doesn't say anything. This is worse than Arianism. You understand Arianism could be like, you can fool people with Arianism because he's God, he's not God. It's kind of a dogma. It's hard to understand maybe, but it is a basic dogma that he's God, but they can fool you. This is basic. This is basic. When you're saying that a Jew that denies Christ is a chosen person of God and he's pleasing to God and he's better than us who denies Christ, that's like an ABC. We were talking about that the other day. That's even worse than the salvation dogma in the sense of, you say, well, prots could be saved, but they believe in Jesus. But it relates to it, though. Yeah. But they would even tell you, okay, people denied the salvation dogma years ago, like Piggy, the pig head, and who's the other guy, Lugo? Yeah. Well, he said, Oh, a Jew who denies Christ could really be an implicit Catholic, and he doesn't even know it, Christian, and be saved. But he's saved by the Catholic Church, even though he doesn't know it. It's even worse. That's bad. It's worse today. They're saying this Jew is not even saved by the Catholic Church today. He's saved by his own church. His own church, his own apostate Judaism, his own religion is a valid religion. And he's a chosen person of God just the way he is. It's even worse than that. So if you're not, this is like, if you don't expose this number one apostate teaching to the world on the rooftops about these Jews, these apostate Jews, then you're a fraud.
Yeah.
You're a fraud. You don't believe in Jesus Christ. And it's something like years ago, I'm going to tell you something, the church fathers would even say this. Oh, that can never happen. I mean, I know we had Arianism. It's kind of complicated. You can read verses where it sounds like it's a man and not God. This is a little complicated. We're never going to... No one is ever going to believe these Jews can deny Christ if you say it. That's never going to happen. Yeah, it happens. It's happening. We're living in a crazy world. It's almost like these people are all doing drugs or something, and they're all... They're messed up to the highest degree when you come out and say, this guy denies Christ, but he's under a covenant with God. He's pleasing to God. He's even better than us. They're going to these apostate rabbis to learn. And it undermines not just the New Testament, it undermines the Old Testament.
Yeah.
It gives Moses a bad name. It gives Queen Esther a bad name. It gives Mordecai a bad name. It gives Christ a bad name. And Christ said to these Jews that didn't believe him, if you believed in Moses, you would believe in me.
Yeah.
So he's telling these bastard Jews, you don't believe in Moses. You don't have the Old Testament. And what are these bastards saying today? Oh, they do have the Old Testament. There are elder brothers in faith. They're even holier than we are. Is that like an ABC? And I've said it a million times. These people that are believing in a Zionist thing, they're Canaanites. I believe that. I don't think there's any hope for them. If God told me, Richard, I leave it to you to make the decision, they're all dead. They're all dead. I won't preach to them. I don't give them a chance. I kill every one of them. And then let's start out from the beginning with these bastards wiped off the face of the earth. You want to do this first to give glory to God and help children and young kids coming up so they can hear about it, so they don't fall into it, so they don't go to these bastards and fall into their stupid bullshit. Anybody who, on the basic reading of the Bible, knows you got to believe in Jesus Christ to be saved. You're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3:26. You're children of Abraham by faith in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3:7. Not those of the children of the flesh are the children of God, but those of the children of the promise, Christians, Romans 9:8. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father by me, John 14:6. Yet they're telling you, these people are blessed by God. They're under a covenant by God, and they deny God.
Yeah.
What kind of God is this?
Sure.
That he blesses and people that deny him, that disobey him? So why are we talking about this? Because this is number one bullet point on the list of what's going on in the world today. And you got the apostate Diamond Brothers with their head up their ass, not saying a word about it.
Yeah.
Not one word about it. Glorifying these bastard Protestants and Freemasons in the United States. Who are they working for? Who are they working for? And ISIS, they would be highly suspicious of being spies. Either spies or they are so afraid to talk against the Jews because the people that are following them, they're going to lose a lot of them. I was in that arena out there. I always talked about the Jews, though. That's what I threw me out. Every time I said it there, I'm always fighting with these people. I'm God from them for a long time. I know their mentality. A lot of them are afraid because they're going to lose the followers. They're going to lose their money. He's got a lot of USA Patriot, Sis Boom Ba people following him. That's why he thinks Russia and China is the biggest evil. He keeps his mind off the West and he keeps blaming everything on Russia and China. Like they're the greatest evil in the whole world and we're like the savior. He presents the United States as the savior of the world.
Yeah.
We're going to say the United States. Which the United States never, ever, ever had religious liberty for true Catholics.
Yeah.
I repeat, from day one, these bastard Diamond Brothers say, hey, this is a great place. They have religious liberty for Christians. What kind of Christians?
Yeah.
Nominal Christians. If you're a true Catholic and a true Christian, we never had religious liberty. Do we have it here? We're true Catholics right now. In the United States, we do not have true religious liberty. Proof one, look what they did to Brother Will. He entered the political arena, got elected by the people because they loved his speech, was on the Republican Party, and then he spoke out against the homos, he spoke out against the Jews, he spoke out against abortion, he spoke out against homo marriages, and they got rid of him. And that's a true Catholic position, right? And he preaches the dogma too, by the way.
Yeah.
He always does that too. And how did they get rid of him? Coming from the head of the Republican Party in the National Committee down to, was it Steve Pierce in power then?
Pierce was in New Mexico, yeah.
Right. Yeah, Steve Pierce, and then it went from Pierce to the local here, and they said, get rid of the kid. They tried to work him, they tried to manage him, and it didn't work because he wouldn't listen. I go over all that, you got to look at it. And a committee of six people got rid of him, and they didn't even tell them why they got rid of him. They threw him out in secret, wasn't recorded, you couldn't have any recordings, and they threw him out. That's religious liberty. We don't have it.
Go to the stjohnthebaptist.us website and click onto the politics menu and then click on Mary's Little Remnant and then go down to where it says the case of William Norris against New Mexico's Republican Party. You can read all the stuff that happened before and after that also. But this will tell you exactly what happened to him. Briefly, I say William Norris was elected as a member at large in the Sierra County Republican Party on 1/14/2023, but he's removed from office on 6/8/2023 because he upheld conservative social values. Julie Stroop, the chair of the Republican Party in Sierra County, spearheaded this witch hunt against William. This book deals with the events that occurred before, during, and after William's removal.
You stupid-ass Diamond Brothers. Yeah. Anybody who really preached the dogma from day one, why do you think the original Catholics that came to this country who really were Catholic were kept in ghettos? Why were they kept in ghettos? Because they were true Catholics and they were preaching the dogma and they didn't want them to mix with the rest of the United States, with the Protestants and all these other people. Going back to the beginning of the United States. That's why the Catholics were oppressed. And we were better off when we were in the ghetto. Because when we were in the ghetto, we didn't have to mix in and cave in for the American dream. And what do you got to do to mix in to be acceptable in the United States? You got to become a Protestant. Or you got to become a Hindu or a Buddhist or religiously indifferent. That's how you move out to the suburbs. That's how you move into politics. That's how you get high positions of authority. Those are the Christians that they tolerate and they allow in the United States. Not true Catholics. The true Catholics were locked in ghettos until they conformed and fell into the Americanist heresy. The Germans in the Midwest were very good for a long time. They held out for a long time. They did not want to give up speaking their language. They didn't want to give up with the faith issues. And the rest of the bishops in the country were really angry at them. And they held out a long time, but they finally caved in eventually. But they were the last holdouts. The Worth sisters can tell you that right now. They're from the Midwest. And when they grew up, they did not learn about the salvation heresy. They believed in salvation dogma in the Midwest. And they were yelling at these German bishops, say, if you're in America, you have to conform to America. You have to speak English, stop speaking German, mix into America. So you say, what a deception it is, right? We got religious liberty. Yeah, let me speak on TV. Let me speak. Post one of my lectures up. Listen, and it's not just me. There's other people that don't have the religious liberty neither, but us being true Catholics, we are the ultimately persecuted ones. So what is this? This United States? The United States, it's an illusion of religious liberty. We don't have it. The nominal Catholics have it. They're all in power now. Look at all the people in power. It's Jews and nominal Catholics. And the reason those nominal Catholics are in big positions of power now is because they're not Catholic. They're not Catholic, sorry. That's why they're persecuting us, because we're Catholics. When you're Catholic and truly Catholic, you don't go nowhere. Stupid-ass Diamond Brothers. Glorifying Freemasonic bastards. Benjamin Franklin was a Freemason, a satanic bastard that offered up human sacrifices and ate babies. And they had proof of it when they found the things in his basement buried, all these bodies. You got to look at the tape on that. But even if you didn't know that, he's not Catholic. He's a Freemason.
Yeah.
And he's praising the guy. He says, oh, one of my brothers up in the monastery, he's got the name Benjamin there. Whoa, he's got the name Benjamin.
The name was Franklin.
Like you're praising Franklin, you're praising, oh, Washington, maybe he did convert. Okay, that story, that might be true, I don't know, that could be true. But he still was a Freemason before he converted, and all the other guys he's praises are Freemasons. But look at all these people that aren't talking about the Jews. All these people. This guy Michael McCarthy, that freak. That peacenik hippie freak. It's the Fabian socialists that are big evil ones. Nothing about the Jews. If you don't say anything, they're living in a world that they think Jews are like some small tribe of people in New Guinea. You know, living in a little, they're like, like pygmies or something. Like they're not essential. Jews? Who are they? Never heard of them. They're full of crap. They're lying. And they know what's going on in Israel right now.
Yeah. Gaza.
And they know what they teach about Zionism. And they don't say nothing. See these Diamond Brothers too?
Yeah.
If God called me, Richard, I want him dead. And I'll do it. Please. Can I do it? I'll let Sal have takes. I'll let you guys have a little piece. You guys can have a piece. We'll all take a piece of them. How's that? So? This is the prominent... you talked about Arianism taking over the whole world. What about Zionism? And worse than Zionism, which that's religious indifference. Where everybody's saved. Everyone. Doesn't matter what you believe in. And those people would look at the Jews, they're going to be saved. They're invincibly ignorant, or they don't understand. They're following their own conscience, that own heresy.
Yeah.
But this Jew issue is the bullseye, though. And they've been, I can't even understand how stupid people are. You go over there, when you go to the Yad Vashem, and you bow down to that false god. At Yad Vashem. That's how you get consecrated by the devil and all the demons and Antichrist. And you go over there and you go, all these holy Jews that died during the Holocaust. Do we have anything about Christians that died? A monument for all Armenian Christians and all Christians that were killed by the Bolshevik Jews in the war and by the United States? The United States has false Christians anyway, but even nominal Christians. We don't have anything like that. So here you are. You're supposed to be a Christian. And you're over there bowing down to some Jews that died, and you're not bowing down to all these Christians that were murdered and nominal Christians by these apostate Jews leading the Freemasons over the whole world. There's no monument. There's no let's have sympathy for these Christians or nominal Christians. No, they go to the Yad Vashem for the Jews. So stupid they are. They're chicken shits. They're not real Christians. They're not real Christians. The whole world is upside down. And fear of the Jews. But that's being broken. And we're part of breaking it. I've seen it going years back. I've seen the progress recently, especially. Since they've been entering Gaza, and what they're doing over there is opening the door for us. Because it's getting people to look at these Jews and going, hey, they're not such nice people. There's something wrong with these people. It's getting people who never questioned the Jew to start looking at them in a different way. So what I'm telling you is this is the number one curse that needs to be broken, and it's being broken right now, a little at a time. But for people who don't like what I'm saying, it's never going to be broken. They're going to always idolize the Jew. They're going to serve the Antichrist because they're afraid of the Jew, and they're not going to listen to me. I'm talking about being broken to goodwill people who are out there, people that don't. We're educating them, so we are going to get a good amount of people out there that are going to hear the truth. The other people, you're not going to get them anyway. But people like the Diamond Brothers and about this McCarthy don't even talk about the Jews. I tell you, since I entered that monastery, he was always like that. The biggest bad guy, according to the Diamond Brothers, was the Russians. Not even the West, just the Russians. Not even Israel. I said, wait a second. You're telling me that Russia's going to attack Israel and Israel's going to defeat them by God's power, and you're talking about apostate Israel with Christ-denying Jews. Zionism that hate Christ. Man, I went off on him on that. I said, you better on this video talk about the Jews. I know you got to get his, was it the second or the first? Second one. Remember he did the end times things? He did two of them. The first one was goofy, too. That was goofy. They're all goofy. But the second one, I said, if you don't talk about the Jews, and you don't say they're evil, and you don't bring in the Orthodox Jews, I said, I'm leaving the monastery. I did. And I'm sitting right by the door watching him when he did it to make sure he did it. And I wrote it up for him, and he read it. And when he read it, I got up and left. Said, good, okay. At least you got... Since then, he doesn't talk about it anymore. Very weak on it. This last thing, he didn't say one word about him. He's back to his old ways again. They're trying to deflect the blame away from the main evildoers. You mean to tell me that the West is the hero? We got the worst immorality and wokeness in the whole world. Yeah. Drug addiction, sexual crimes of all kinds of stuff. Number one in the child sex pornography and pedophilia, drug addiction, corruption, lying, adultery, mass murders going on all over the place in the cities, crime, support abortion, support homo marriages. Oh, this is the hero. This is the hero. Then he starts talking, he's comparing the book of Apocalypse, Philadelphia, the church in Philadelphia, which was the holy church, and he compares it to the Philadelphia in the United States. He says, it's the same thing. Look, this is Philadelphia. That's a holy Catholic place, and you're comparing it to Philadelphia in the United States? Like it's holy and Catholic, and he starts talking about Benjamin Franklin and all the bastards that are from Philadelphia? And they're not even self-professed Catholics. They're like Protestants and Freemasons. The guy's living in a dream world. You want to follow him? It's because you idolize the West. You idolize democracies. Because you're a rebellious piece of shit. You don't want to obey people. You hate monarchy, theocracy. You hate any patriarchy. These rebellious bastards in the West. Go ahead. You keep praising the West. You're going down with the West. This West is going to save the... I can't wait when God's going to allow Putin and the Chinese to destroy the West. And I'm going to celebrate on the roof. He's doing it for his own reason because he doesn't like Catholicism, but I'll take it. Because the Catholicism that they are attacking is not true anyway.
Yeah.
And then God's going to do a miracle for us and attract them to us. Mm-hmm. On the natural plane even. If you've got somebody who never heard about the Catholic Church, and all he knows about the Catholic Church is what he sees in Rome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. I want to kill it too. It's a whore.
Yeah.
I want to take it down. That can't be God's church. If I didn't know anything else, but that's all I knew, Catholicism is wrong. The Catholic Church is crap. It's Babylon. It stinks. And if you defend it, that's what you're defending. That's what they're looking at. We're over here teaching the true Catholic faith. And when they get directed towards us, they're going to go, it all makes sense here now. Because a lot of people see... And I've said this many times, even if you're not Catholic, you're a Hindu, you're a Buddhist, you're an atheist, you're agnostic, you don't believe in God at all, you at least know what the true Catholic Church teaches. They know that this is not it. And you look at the funeral they just gave this poop that's in hell right now, Francis, this ugly, filthy, sniveling, basset hound poop, burning in hell forever now where you belong. Look at all the world leaders went to this guy. The people, all the young kids are going like, they're crazy. They're it's like a rock concert. They're like on drugs. Oh, he's so great. He's so great. 200,000, 300,000, 400,000 people are going nuts. You like that? I said, what do you like it? Why is this guy so good? You know why they like him? Because he allows them to do whatever they want. They don't have to obey anybody. They can sin. They can do whatever they want. He's a good father. My daddy tells me I can't do this and I can't do that. He tells me I can do it. I can do whatever I want. I can be a homo. I can be an adulterer. You know, I can be a murderer. He wants peace in the whole world. He doesn't want any wars, no justice. We can run wild and get away with it. I mean, that's why they like the guy. They're gangsters. They deserve it. Everyone's got a natural law. You want to follow this guy, you're a wimp. If you think this guy's great, you're done. You're out of here. You think, and all the world leaders, they have to lie. We got to lie. They go in there and they got to give the guy some kind of attention, right? So anyway, this Jew thing is big. And people have been afraid to talk about it because we were saying this the other day. I think Brother Sal was talking about money, right? We always say money is the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Remember he says the Antichrist God is mammon, money. It's his main power thing, how he comes to power. You can bribe most people with money. And you can say most people, yeah, almost everybody. Especially if you've got a guy that has a job in the United States. He has the American dream. He's got two homes. He's got a vacation home and he's got a regular home. He's got a couple cars. His kids are going to college. They're getting a diploma. He's ready to retire. If that guy ever spoke like we did, he's going to lose his job. He loses his pension. His kids are out of school. He's got to live like we are in a smaller place. You think that guy wants to do that? You think he's going to do that? Or maybe if the husband wants to do it, the wife's going to give him a hard time. Or if the wife wants to do it, then the husband's going to give her a hard time. That's how they get you. And they sit back, they're going, we spent our whole life doing this.
Yeah.
Our kids only got one more year to go. I only got two more years for pension. If I say this, I'm going to lose it all. So you're saying, how does money get everything? That's how it happens. It's not so much even agreed to want to be a millionaire. is to not give up even the stuff you did work for. That's why our Lord said, he's not willing to renounce his possessions cannot be my disciple. What is that? This 14:27 is one of them verses, John 14. He's not ready to renounce all he possesses cannot be my disciple. You have to be ready to give everything up. And the devil knows most people you can pay him off with money. Jobs, positions. So where's God in all of this? Where is there see, if you don't really believe in the true God and you don't fear him and you don't love him, then you're going to fall for this. If you really love the true God and you would fear him, you would love him, you know who he is, that stuff ain't going to move you. Because what do you say? What do you say in a moment like that? When that moment comes and you have to lose everything and you really love God and they're threatening you with it, you go, if I give in now, I'm going to hell forever. I'm going to burn in hell again. No, take all my stuff. I'm going with God, like Eleazar in the book of the Maccabees.
And Job. Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes.
Yeah, and the Maccabee guy who would not give in, kill me, tear me to pieces. Because they understood that our Lord said, do not fear him that can kill a body and have nothing more they can do. Fear him after he has killed can cast you into hell. And that's another verse in there, Luke, I forget what it is. It's a good one. And he will save his life in this world shall lose it. What's the profit of a man to gain a whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? So you're thinking about, I'm going to lose, my kids can't go to college anymore, I'm going to lose my homes, I'm going to lose my pension, but if I keep these things, I'm going to hell forever.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really going to hell forever. If he really believes that, he'll do the right thing. And if you, look, it's not just the fear of going to hell. When you love God, it's loving God. That's the ultimate. More than fear, you got to fear God too. And if you know him, you'll fear him, but love. And you're saying, I'll never be able to see God again. I'll never be able to see my God whom I love with my whole heart again. I'll never see God ever. I'll never see Mary. I'll never see all the saints. I'll never see Moses. I'll never see St. Peter. I'll never see St. Michael and St. Gabriel. I'll never see them again. I'll never see them. And not only will I never see them, I'm going to see this ugly, filthy bastards in hell with all kinds of horrible things going on down there. But if you don't love God, who cares? If they don't love him. They don't love him anyway. They don't want to be with him anyway. How many people on earth do we have? We get them to try to read the Bible into studying. They don't want to do it. They don't love God. And they don't want, it's more than they don't want to love God. They don't want to love God. Because they want to obey. They want to sin, do the devil's work, be miserable, and not listen to what God's telling them. Disobedience. The American way, the democracy way, is probably one of the worst heresies in the world. Because what does it do to people? It tells them you don't got to obey nobody. You don't got to obey your... Kids don't have to obey their parents. Wives don't have to obey their husbands. Husbands don't have to obey their religious leaders and their civil leaders. And husbands don't have to obey God. How many times do you hear this? We the people! We the people! Nobody tells me what to do. We the... You the people what? That's even stupid logically. It doesn't make sense. But that's what they want. No one's going to tell me. We the people. So now God's turned everything upside down. And parents and families don't understand why they can't control one another, why there's chaos. Because you don't obey anybody. You don't want to obey anybody. And in the meantime, while you're not obeying anybody, you are obeying somebody. You're obeying Satan. Mm-hmm. Satan owns you.
Yeah.
He controls you. He moves you. He directs you like a robot. I've seen it time and time again. And people never knew how much the devil possesses. And I'm talking about like obvious cases, like everybody out there that's not in a state of grace, the devil has some power over them. Some more than others. And he's got a lot of power over them. He guides what they think. He guides where they move. He guides where they go. They got power. And there's enough in everybody's life too, if they have some goodwill to realize that my life is miserable. There's got to be more than this. If you're not asking those questions, then it's your own fault. You don't want to learn. It's your own fault why God allowed the devil to take you out, because you chose the devil. You got free will. God doesn't interfere with free will. If he did, you'd be a robot. It would just be like a robot. You're not even alive. So you got free will. You got to make choices. You want to be a chicken? We were watching the movies about how people lie to psychiatrists when they come to reality that there really is a devil. And they see some exorcisms take place, and they look at the reality of the devil, and they're afraid, and they don't want to address it because they grew up with the psychology bullshit and psychiatry and all their pills. And now that their whole world is being exploded when they look at this, so A lot of them, they ignore the evidence. They ignore the, they're afraid. They ignore the evidence. And they and instead of going to God and understand, they continue on with their evil ways. I wasn't supposed to give a lecture.
That's a good one, Brother Richard.
Yeah. Matthew 10:28, and fear ye not them that kill the body and are not able to kill the soul, but rather him that can destroy both soul and body in hell.
I don't like that one. That one's okay, but the other one's better. It's in Luke. Because it says destroy soul. People think souls get destroyed. The other one is, it says, fear not him that kill the body, and after that they have nothing more that they can do. I will show you whom you shall fear. Fear ye him after he hath killed, hath power to cast into Gehenna. That's even better. The other one just... Father Gragey brought that. I don't know, I hate talking about these guys. He brought that Matthew 10:20.
Oh,
he goes, how's that? He destroyed, souls don't get destroyed. Now, I got to look at the text on that, too, to see if I correct, if there's a correct text on that. But what he means is, when he says you're dead, right? How many times did the Lord say, let the dead bury the dead?
Yeah.
Well, how could the dead bury the dead? He's talking about a dead soul. In context, but a Gragey made a big deal out of that. It's almost like, what? Are you saying that there's something wrong with the Gospels and you're taking it in a heretical way, like souls are destroyed? Maybe he believes that. I don't know. You know, he would bear some questioning. Maybe he believes souls disappear.
Yeah, right. You know? They don't go to hell.
They don't go nowhere.
Yeah, I know.
When you die, it's like, poof!
Exactly. Like,
you live and then you disappear. All you get is this one life and then poof, you disappear. Then we go back to the Book of Wisdom. Remember those guys saying? Well, if that's all there is, and I disappear at the end of my life, I'm going to go out and go be crazy. I'm going to do whatever I want. There's no consequences. I'm going to get as much money as I want, as much fun. I do whatever I want because it doesn't matter. That's in the Book of Wisdom. It's great when they talk about that. You know.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, and mocking the guy who's godly.
I like that one too. Is, people go down to hell and they're looking up at the people that are the good people and.
Yes. Wisdom, yeah.
We could have listened to them, but we didn't.
Oh. Hey, poop! Take a look at me now. Look at me now, you dirty, filthy poop!
Yeah.
Oh! I know you knew about me, because remember when you said that there's no such thing as a Catholic God?
Yeah.
I'm the only one that uses that term.
Yeah.
I know you know about me. Now you know I was right and you're wrong, huh? You piece of shit. Now you are where you belong. Suffering forever. I wish God could let me just have a picture of you down there. Right? And I'll post it on my website with Satan, Beelzebub and all that. You smelly piece of shit. I wonder what you look like now. You look kind of messed up before you died even. You're even worse now, aren't you? Aren't you? Oh, you had the adulations of all the people in the world, even on your funeral. You see all the people that came to your casket. What good is it going to do you now? And they're all going to follow him. Follow them right down to hell. It's unbelievable. The whole world, this guy, like, they're crazy over these people. They love these apostate anti-popes because these guys love the world.
Yeah.
They're totally anti-Catholic. They're indifferent. Everyone's saved. Everyone's good. The homo can be a homo. He can't judge homos. Mm-hmm. That one nun said it's not even a sin anymore.
Yeah.
He loves transgenders and homos. He opens his arm and welcomes them all. He said that there's no hell. No, anybody, if they're not saved, he said they disappear. Don't you wish you were just disappearing now, hey? Hey, buddy boy, hey? Bastard. I have no doubt God put him right here.
What
to hear me.
Say,
yeah.
What did he say about the people that read the Bible are traitors?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he would put down reading the Bible, yeah. What a guy, he's a maniac.
Yeah.
I mean... I was talking to all the other day. You've got guys that are still in that church. Robert Shinjenis, smart people. Michael Matt, smart people that are still in that church. Are you kidding me?
EWTN, yeah.
Are you kidding me? I think they sinned against the Holy Spirit. That's, again, if God gave me power over those guys, I'd kill them all. I wouldn't even try to convert them. Shinjenis, come in here, kill the bastard, take him out back. I'm not even trying to convert you. I mean, if you put up with all of this stuff, and I mean, we're not talking about like it's not like God didn't give him a chance. This has been going on for like 50 years. I mean, how much do you tempt God before he pulls the plug on grace? Right? And I know it, how God operates. You can mess up for a while. I always used to put like a 6 month thing on or a year, and when you're doing something wrong, God works on you, he punishes you, and he works with you. These people have been doing this like for 50 years. It didn't take me too long to find out about Sadie Contism and condemn these bastards. I waffled a little bit, you get tempted a little bit, but he knows you still want to do it, and he still works with you, and then you finally handle it. These guys just swallowing it down. There's nothing that these guys can do in Rome that would get them to say he's not the Pope. He can offer up a human sacrifice on the altar and eat a baby while he's saying Mass, have a baby up there and stab it and eat it, and he'd still be the Pope. According to the theology, too. I wrote about that. Nobody can judge the Pope. No one can declare the Pope. No one has the authority to judge or declare. I wrote about that. I spoke about it on Non-Catholics Can't Hold Offices. Even the early canons brought that example up and said, you mean to tell me a Pope can do anything and people have to follow him no matter what he does and say he's the Pope? And they gave an example like that. The one guy said, what happens if the Pope fornicates right on the altar with a woman or a guy? Does the homo thing. Are we supposed to still call him the Pope and the Holy Father? Are we going to follow this guy? When you do something like that too, in morality, that's like, when you publicly flaunt immorality, that's like heresy. But, I mean, that's what we're looking at today. You know, the only time they will call the guy an anti-Pope is if they taught me. If I was there teaching the right thing, they would condemn me. They say, oh, he can't be the Pope. He's telling you. He says everyone goes to hell and most people go to hell. Unbaptized people go to hell. I pray he can't be. You can never be the Pope talking like that, you see. So what does it say about the people that follow him? What does it say about them? Robert Sejanus, what does it say about him? I don't follow you around 24-7, but you're doing something really bad in your life, pal.
Exactly.
There's something really wrong with you or your kids or your wife or somebody, and you're covering it.
Yeah.
There's something not right with you. A lot of times, too. The main thing with a lot of these guys, power, position, money. Let's take a look at it. Robert Sejanus has a big following within his own group, makes a lot of money, and has people following him, and it's simply that. He doesn't want to lose them. He knows that if he's going to lose all these people, lose that money, lose that following. People interested about how many people are following. Dyer Brothers use the thing all the time. Well, if the Honor Brothers, if we're going to go by your way of thinking, then the Apostolate Pope's got you beat by a lot. They got, how many billions of Catholics they say in the world? 350, what? How many Catholics, I say? 200? Something like 125
billion?
125 billion people follow the Apostolate.
No, billion.
Billion.
Billion?
1 billion.
Yeah, 1 billion.
Yeah, 1 billion only?
1 billion.
Check it out. I heard a higher number than that. Check it out anyway. But anyway, more people than the Dyers. Right? So you want to play the number game, then he's got you guys beat by a mile. Look how many people are following him. Oh, we love the guy. Dyers, you know how you can tell these guys are full of crap? They got all these human testimonies about how great they are. So-and-so says you're so great. You're so great. 1.4 billion. Oh, how great. How great. Oh, how great. When we get a lot of converts, they're going to love us too, but in a different way. It's not going to be an idolization kind of love. It's going to be based on faith and morals. On solid, a true respect.
Yeah.
It's totally different than what they give these people. This is like a unreasonable type of adulation.
Yeah.
I mean, if you ask a lot of these kids, they might not even be able to answer you why they like them. Mm-hmm. Remember the one direct talking about JP2? What do you like about the guy? And they go, he's so great, he's so great. Yeah, but what do you like about him? I don't know. He's just so great. I don't know. He's so. Yeah, but what do you like about him? I don't know. He's just great. He's great. The kid don't even. It's like, wow. You don't talk about brainwashing, right? It's like the devil's talk to them. JP2 is great. JP2 is great. JP2 is great. And he wakes up and goes, JP2 is great. JP2 is great. He's great. What is he great about? I don't know. I don't even know why I said it, but I did. I feel it too. I love him. I don't know why. It's serious. That happens. It's irrational even. It's like, you know. And some people like him, do really like him. They'll give you the reasons too. I want to be a homo. I want to continue to be a homo. I want to marry my boyfriend homo. That's why I love him. I commit adultery and I love adultery. I want to continue doing my adultery and I got to worry about any sins.
Yeah.
I'm a gangster. I like stealing from people. And I want to continue to steal without any consequences. I'm a Protestant. I want to be saved, and I can be saved according to you because my parents are Protestants.
And I can be raptured.
Yeah, rapture.
Yeah. They're going to get raptured, right? We're going to rapture them. That's interesting, right? Them and their stupid rapture, right? Yeah. Is that more cowardness, though?
Yes.
That's cowardness. Yeah. They don't want to be around during the... Because there's chicken shits,
yeah.
You know? You think you're going to escape all... You know, a true warrior from God, we relish these days.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is the battle of battle, the war of wars. Who would not want to be in this battle?
Yeah.
And we know it's a battle. That's why God allows us to be attacked and feel the effects of the attack. Let us know, even though he protects us and he doesn't let us get overwhelmed, but he's letting you know you're in a battle here. You know, anybody who's a true Catholic knows that. But getting back to the original topic about this Jew thing, this is gigantic. You know, you go back and you look at all the stuff that Augustine and St. Cyril Jerusalem, St. Augustine, St. Ambrose, and St. Cyprian. Cyprian Arianism wasn't as big in his day, but later on. And you look how all the books they wrote against Arianism. And whatever was the common herd, Pelagianism, but Arianism was the big one. So how many books should be written against Zionism? How many people say, Brent, he's always talking about the Jews. He's always picking on the Jews. Remember he said to me, I said, you know why I'm picking on the Jews? Because everybody's unpicking on the Jews. They deserve to be picked on, these apostate Jews. Because they're the ones that are in the pinnacle of power. And anybody, I get most angry. I'm telling you, get these nominal Catholics that defend them,
yeah.
Especially the ones when you're in the back room, like Gary Potter. Was it Harry or Gary? In the back room, yeah, Rich, yeah, talking about Jews. Rich is good, yeah, yeah. Rich is exposed. Let's put Rich up there in front of everybody. And I even told him, I don't care. I'll get up in front of everybody. I'll be the leader. I'll lead. I'll lead the back like the front. You know, you're in the squad. You got the point man. He goes first. I knew they were little chicken shit. So I'll get up there, but it gets worse than that. They started to deny me. They started to they didn't want to show up and support me. They were even condemning me. I went, whoa! I mean, I get up there. You guys are afraid. I'll do them. Now you're condemning me? You're going with the enemy? We were talking about the Jews in the back room all the time. And Gary Potter gets up to introduce me for the second coming speech and goes, Richard Ibrani, Mr. Ibrani, he's a new member to our community. And he's going to talk about a special group of people, our separated brethren. He'll tell you who they are. Gary! They're called Jews. Say the J word. Jew! Okay, good. Say it again. You're still a little nervous. Jew. Oh, no. Again. Jew. Oh, you're getting better. Jew! Better. Jew! I have it right 1,000 times on the board. Jew 1,000 times and say it. It'll start out weak, though. It'll start out weak. It really will. Jew. And all you have to have is a Jew, in the background going, what'd you say? Speak up! Are you talking against us? You do that to me from day one, even. I never fell for that from day one. You do that to me. I'm talking about you, Mr. Jew bastard, in the back room, you apostate Jew.
Yeah.
Like that fat bastard apostate Jew tried to firebomb my place in New Jersey. I don't know if I ever recorded this, but yeah, I was selling, I was an optician. And he was like a barrel-chested, like a Russian kind of a Jew or something. Barrel-chested. And he bought glasses from me, and he comes in, and I told him the glasses will be ready on Friday. He came in on Wednesday. I said, no, it's not ready. I told you Friday. He goes, I was taking you guys so long. He goes, he says, you greenhorns, that's why us Jews rule the world. You guys don't know how to do anything. That's what he said to me. He said, you greenhorn, you guys don't know how to do it. That's why us Jews rule the world. So I said, do me a favor, Mr. Jew. I says, take your glasses, because he had a user frame, that was his old frame and stuff. I threw the stuff at him. I threw his deposit. I says, and get out of here and don't ever come back. I threw the stuff right at him. I says, get out of my store and don't ever come back here again.
Good.
A week later, my dog never goes into the back. I put him in the front yard, you know. Front yard's fenced in. But somehow my dog got out, Rocky. So a week later, I go, what happened to Rocky? Where did he go? So he went into the backyard, and in the backyard I got a like when the car goes down like this, you know, and you got the car where you park cars and the car thing, and I'm walking and go down to the backyard. So I'm going to the backyard and I see this Jew, this apostate Jew, and I thought he was peeing on the side of my wall. So I said, what are you doing over here on my property? I mean, I was furious. I said, get out of here now. Get off of my property. And he's a big guy. I grabbed him by the lapels and I must have lifted him off the ground and carried him up to the top of the thing. I was so angry. And he goes, I'm going to come back here with all my Jew pals and I'm going to take care of you. And I says, yeah, do me a favor. Bring every one of your Jew pals back here and I'll blow you all to hell. And I smacked his hat off. He had one of those little caps, you know, the Jew kind of cap. I smacked it right off his head.
As the Talmud says, I don't give a shit what he says, okay? Now you listen to me.
I said, you come back here with all your Jew pals on my front lawn, I'll blow you all to hell. Then I went back, and it was a Molotov cocktail. He was pouring gasoline on there. He's getting ready to light my place up. I had a conference. I know a lot of cops in North. They came out and filed a report. He filed a report against me. Like, so, and it says, I'm going to counter for him. I'm going to file a report against him. He was trying to firebomb my place. And so the cop came out and he said, this is what goes on, right? So I'm just telling you, I never went for this crap because I grew up in, at least I'm glad I grew up in a tough neighborhood maybe, yeah. Okay, because I'm not a wimp.
Yeah.
Wimpy people disgust me.
Yeah.
And then, so nothing came of it because I had the counter offer. He was going to sue me for assault and battery. And like a month later, broad daylight, I got the bus stop right across the street from me. He's pissing right on the bus stop sign and people are waiting there and he's got his big overcoat on, big brown coat, and he's peeing right in the broad daylight. Right in front. I'm like, this guy, you don't know how bad these guys are.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a little bit of that one clip I have, how some, not all Jews are the same, though. I'm not saying they're all like him.
In this clip, you will see the Naturi Karta Jews who have some goodwill. They're not as evil as the other Jews. And you will see them clashing with a secular apostate Jew, and you will see the difference between the two of them.
My name is Rabbi Chaim Lefkowitz, and I'm coming from New York, Rockland County. We came here with many Jews, rabbinical leaders, Talmudical scholars, to state the true voice of Judaism, that it's hardly heard throughout the world in these days. The reason for it is very clear for people who know, and unclear for people who don't know. Unfortunately, after the so-called Holocaust, most of our rabbinical leaders got perished in the war. And the Zionist leaders, they took over the power of the name, of the true name of the Jewish people. When in fact, Zionism in basic is an atheistic, nationalistic movement, extremely opposed to the basic faith of Judaism, especially the way how Jews need to behave in exile. We are a nation in exile already 2,000 years.
Speak with Jews.
Never.
They're bastards. Why
don't you cover your head? I was really Jew.
The fox would be a tibble if they come and dread. Your bones should
be... You speak like a Zionist. You curse like a Zionist.
You should, all of you. You're fools. You're idiots. What do you think you are? You're like little clowns.
If you're God
clowns that they tried out here to show that even the Jews want it. But you're not Jews. You're anti-Semite bastards. That's what you are. Every one of you. Now these people have a perfect right to be out here. They have a perfect right to be out here. They have a cause. They have something they want to say, and they have a perfect right to say it. But you are here.
You speak like Sharon.
You speak like Sharon.
I speak. You curse like a Zionist.
Get out of here. You're an idiot. That's what you are.
These are idiots. These people are fools. These people are clowns who have been taken out.
You represent.
I represent. Who do you represent?
The Jewry.
You don't represent. represent you.
No, they're going to do it.
Absolutely don't represent you.
Why don't you cover your head if you are
God? You're a fool.
If you are God,
idiot.
Why don't you cover your head?
You're anti-Semite.
You are a perfect example of a Zionist. Non-God fearing and
yes, I'm Jewish.
Wanting to.
What mean a Jew? What mean a Jew?
I don't wear tzitzis. There are different kinds of Jews. Not every Jew wears tzitzis. Get that thing off me, you idiot. You morons. You deserve to die, and your children should piss on your bones. That go unburied forever.
You speak like a Zionist. You see, what you saw here is a very perfect example of what's going on in these days. You see, like a fellow without his religious faith on him, just calling himself a Jew, and when true Jews here, rabbinical leaders and Torah scholars are trying to say a true Jewish word, we got obstructed immediately. And that's what happens over...
So there's different kinds of Jews, but he happens to be, you know... I had other Jewish salesmen come in. They were okay. I liked them. They weren't really that bad. They were friendly with me. That one guy said from JG Optical. This is how stupid I was. How dumb I was in the beginning. How blinded I was. And this guy Sid, you know, from Brooklyn, he come in, and we start talking about religion, and I said, well, Sid, we're all the same anyway, aren't we? This is how dumb I was, right? I was supporting Israel, too, and all that. And so, I remember my mafia guy, he came in once. This is another story. I'll get to that in a second. But this guy Sid's talking. I said, aren't we all the same? And Sid, he looks at me, and he goes, Rich, he goes, are we all the same? Do we believe in the same things? I said, I guess not, Sid. He straightened me out, right? But then that's how bad I was back then, you know? Yeah. I was supporting Israel and all that. I had the one mafia guy, he used to come over all the time, he smoked cigars in the back, and we talked politics and everything. So he's saying, well, Rich, what do you think about in the Middle East? You know, you got Arafat's over there, and you got the Israel and all that. I says, who do you support? And I said, oh, look, I says, this Arafat wears a diaper on his head, you know? I mean, when I said, who's going to support people with a diaper on their head? You know, I was pissed, this is boom by Israel. But he was pro-Palestinian. And he said, no, he said, you don't think that's wrong what they're doing to the Palestinians? The mafia guy was supporting the Palestinians. Then here's the guy, I said, well, then how can you serve the Jews? And he says, we all have to serve somebody.
That was the same.
Yeah. Thing. I said, well, how come you serve the Jews? You know, why them? He goes, we all have to serve somebody.
Yeah.
But anyways, this is the Jew. I had Jewish women come in asking me if the Messiah is going to be like a macho man. What do you call it? What's the word? A male chauvinist, yeah. Like he's going to be a macho man. She wants him to be like a femme, you know, like because women can rule her husbands, you know. That's what she was getting at. And when she asked me that question, way in the beginning, I didn't even know. They knew stuff about me. I had no idea what was going on. But even when I grew up, people must know something's going on with this guy, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. And they're asking these questions. I said, when the Messiah comes, he's not going to be a feminist. He's not going to accept feminism. But that was her question. Like, is he going to be a male chauvinist or, you know. I said, what are you asking me for? Man, I had these old women come in. Because I would rail against the mafia guys, you know. There's two kinds of mafia guys. There's better ones and the ones that didn't like drugs. I call them Republican and Democrat. The Democrat mafia guys are real dirtbags, really bad. There's completely two different kinds of mentalities. But I was condemning them. And so these two old ladies came in. They said to me, hey, Richard, you know, you better stop talking about the mafia. They're going to come after you. I went, answer me one question. I said, who's more powerful, God or the mafia?
Yeah.
And she said, God. I says, end of discussion. Done. Get out the door now. I didn't see that. Yeah. It's amazing, right? And that's how God does not support a coward.
Yeah.
If you're a coward, you're done. You're done. Even on the natural plane. People can know this with the natural law. People come and threaten your family. If you're a coward, there's no hope for you. I covered that in my article on the fruits and gifts of the Holy Spirit. You got to read that. I really, because I was utilizing, when God was converting me, the things, real, it's not like pseudo philosophy bullshit, you know, when you're reading it, it don't mean nothing. You go, what does that mean?
Yeah.
It has no real practical application in my life. But, I'm just giving an example of what these attacks are like. Yeah. But the most important thing, I got attacked by devils all over the place, physically and spiritually, in my dreams when I was awake, tell me to stop talking about the Jews and John Paul II. Jews was the number one issue. Don't talk about them no more. They bribed me with gold, money. They says we can turn this lead bar into gold for you if you obey us. I had all kinds of stuff happening. I was bribed by money. I was threatened that they're going to kill me, beat me up, all kinds of things. I'm still here.
Yeah.
And you know something, you cave into these people. Yeah, you live a little bit longer, but now you're under the yoke of them.
Yeah.
Now they own you. Now your whole life is going to be miserable. When you die, you're going to go straight to hell. And whenever, and God's not going to help you because you turned away. You went to them instead. You wonder what happens to righteous anger with people. Righteous anger. Dignity. Respect. The truth. A kid could have a father as good his whole life, gives the kid all the American dream stuff in that sense, and then the first time his father gets challenged on something that's very important about the Jews or about, and he sees his father cave in because his father's afraid, and maybe the father never did this before, and he sees his father cave in, and the son goes, Dad, but you know that's not true. But Dad, why did you say that? Well, son, sometimes we have all the respect, if that's a decent kind of kid, that he had for his father went right out the window. His father turned into a huge coward. A huge coward. Dad, why did you say that? Yeah, but son, don't you realize if I say that, we're going to lose everything? Yeah, but Dad, where's your dignity? Where's your respect? You're going to let these people push you around and you're going to lie for them? I don't care, Pop, if you lose everything. And that's happens. It's happened all over the place. All over the place. Well, the Satan, patron saint of Saint, what was it? Thomas More.
Yeah.
He did that.
Yeah.
He did that.
Okay.
And so you sit back and you go, wow, you know, I used to respect my father. I'm talking about all these politicians. We went publicly when they don't condemn the sexualization of children and all that. And I wonder if their children say, hey, Dad, hey, Ma, didn't you say anything about going against the homosexual marriages? You're supposed to be a Republican conservative candidate. And the people that support you don't like that stuff. It was on the platform and you didn't defend it. I would hope at their dinner table, one of the kids will speak up and say, you're a hypocrite, Mom. I don't want nothing to do. You're a pop politician. You're a hypocrite. I'm done. Yeah. I don't give a shit about politics or anything. You know this is wrong and you didn't defend the people that voted for you on this. Mm-hmm. Cowards. I'm just cowards.
Yeah.
They say they believe in God. You don't.
Yeah.
Or you believe in a teddy bear God. There is a teddy bear god out there, you know? Small G teddy bear god. You know, Mr. Rogers invented him, I think. No, but he goes, small teddy god. No, that's their god. He's merciful. He forgives. I don't have to do anything. He's not going to do anything. And then they themselves become totally religiously indifferent because they've done it. Now they're allowing other people to do it. It's like a giant infection. And it's like a giant affection. Infection, I mean. Remember that movie, Merchant of Venice? He has a great infection towards you, sire. He wanted to say affection. Yeah. My son has a great infection towards you. That was funny, that one scene.
Yeah.
Hey, Merchant of Venice. What are we talking about there? Another Jew?
Shy life.
He wasn't shy about loaning money.
No, he wasn't.
We're talking about apostate Jews here. They devastate. Zionism devastates the whole Bible in one clip.
Yeah.
And it makes the Old Testament saints look bad and the New Testament saints look bad. It makes the whole Bible look bad. That's what it does. They're spitting all over the Bible. And discrediting it. Any questions for anybody? Yeah, no, we're not going to do the mass prayers today. You can do them on your own. Again, what comes before the mass? Faith. I really didn't plan to do a lecture today. I wasn't fooling. Yeah, I really wasn't good. Okay, yeah. But I'm glad anyway. I don't care. I just, you know. No, it's amazing. I think sometimes our Lord says, you know, we preach. But things are starting to happen, though. This is good, you know. When you start getting people to listen, this second to saving your own soul and edifying us by the Word of God, you know, I mean, I get it. I edify myself, listen to my own things, read my own stuff, and it's beautiful. I can live If God said, Richard, all these people in the room are the only ones who are going to believe to the end of the world and that you're going to get no one else, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I would be. I would just say, okay, then I'm going to try and go home and I'm happy. Mm-hmm. My days are happy. I'd be happier if more people came in, but I could be happy this way. You always got to be willing to even be alone. I'd rather be alone with a few people than with a bunch of bums.
Well, more people. I was telling Alex about that. Like, we give the people, where do we get all these people? But then you got a whole new set of problems. You got to deal with them. And
you'll get a whole set of problems. It's true. It'll be work, but at least you'll get more people.
You will.
But what I'm getting at is, I'm happy. You always got to be happy to be alone, even. Like, if everyone just left and there's nobody else but you. And that was me for a long time. I was happy with God. I pray, I read, I study, right? I had a wonderful day. It was great. And in some ways, it's like you're saying, in some ways, can I stay like this? Or Christ at the miracle of Canaan, right? What was he? In the miracle of Canaan, right? Can I have another couple of weeks before another month before all this starts to happen? You see when he was healing all the people and he comes walking back like this and he's all tired. You can see. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
How much he loves the people, and that's what I talk about pastoral care, and that's what it's like. A good priest is like that, you know, when he has to hear confessions and everything, and so he's, you know. But the bonus is you are getting people to come in. But what I'm getting at, you still got to always be willing to. You can always be happy. It's not based upon people.
No.
Just you. Your happiness is only based upon you. Mm-hmm. Only you can make yourself happy by doing the right thing, and that's the most important thing. Nobody else. And then. Yeah, other people, you teach them what brings true joy and true happiness. You got all these self-help groups out there, right? Mm-hmm. They're always telling you how to be joyful, how to be happy. Mm-hmm. You got these Hindus, you got these Buddhists, you got these Scientologists, you got these psychiatrists, you got these wacky women, you got these goofballs getting up there. I'm going to tell you how to be happy. I'm going to give you the secret to happiness and joy. You got to order my medicine over here. I got these. This is natural nutrients. This will help you to be happy, these nutrients I got. I can't tell you what's in them, but you take it, it's like a happy pill. And you need to take them, but you also got to do what I tell you to be happy, right? Just wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, smile and say, be happy, be happy, be happy. I'm happy. Did you know I'm happy? I'm so happy. You know, that one verse of the Lord says, has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world?
Yeah.
I know that one too, and I just forgot the verse though. But has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? I got to do so many things. I love to bring a clip of all these self-help people when they get up.
Yeah.
And these gurus. Yeah. And you got all the women sitting in there, and the guy, and she's got the audience, and they're going, and they're giving their little formula. And they all have a little different formula on how to be happy and how to be joyful. You get these books from Ignatius Press's filthy bastard Fessler, whatever his name is, a piece of shit. He's really bad.
Fessio.
Whatever it is. Anyway, he's got all these books on it. How to be happy, how to be joyful, the Catholic way to be happy, the Catholic way to be joyful. And you know what I read? I says, you're a miserable bastard. That's what it says to me.
Yeah.
You're a miserable bastard and you're never going to be happy. You got to start writing the way you're writing about it, man. You ain't never going to have it. Yeah, never going to have it. They get together on self-help groups. They hold hands together. I'm going to help you be happy today. Sister Laura, it's your turn. Vent out your anger. So then you can really be happy because we all love you. Look, all of us love you here. Can you feel the love generating into your soul? Don't let them get too close to you when they start saying that, by the way. Because then it turns into lust. You better watch it, man. That's like one quick step from that to lust. Before you know it, you know. Ooh. And then you get taken over. Serious stuff.
It's like those type of groups, they forgive their own sins. You know, it's like
they want you to release their sins. Yeah, exactly.
Your sins are forgiven.
Without confession.
Out there.
Yeah, exactly.
We all know your sins.
You purged it.
It's out.
It's like confession. You know, God's allowing them to, like Dr. Phil and all these shows, and God's allowing them to confess to every Tom, Dick, and Harry, to everybody in the world, but to the Catholic priest, and they think this is going to alleviate their guilt. And so here's the people that say, I will never confess before a man. Prots, right? I will never confess before a man. A priest doesn't have that power, when it's clearly in the Bible in that power. John 20:24, right? And Jesus breathed upon them and said, whose sins you shall forgive, they shall be forgiven. And whose sins you shall retain, that shall be retained.
John 20:20-24.
It's right in the Bible. He gives the apostles the power to remit sins. That's how your sins get remitted. It's right in the Bible. They don't want to go to an old man, a priest. They say a man. But they do go to men, don't they? They go to men, women, psychiatrists, psychologists, Dr. Phil. Who's that the black lady that has a famous... Oprah. Oh! Get it out! Pour it out! So you can get the guilt off your chest. They can't get rid of one speck of guilt. Now you just piled more guilt on you. You made a jackass out of yourself by spurting your crap all over the place. No one wants to hear about your private sins anyway. But they do. That's how sick people are. And you think you're going to go home and get better? So they feel good for like about 5 minutes on their way home. As soon as they get home, it all starts all over again. And even worse now. So they got to come back to the next session and give them more stuff. And it never ends.
Talking about trying to get guilt off your soul. The company I worked for sent us to a seminar. It was supposed to be time management or something. And they said this one stupid thing. Look in the mirror every morning and say, I love myself.
Yes.
I love myself.
I was just joking. Look at this. See? Yeah. I was just giving that as an example. I didn't know it really happened. No, I thought it could, though. Yeah. Now, I know how these people are. So that's what they're telling you?
Yeah.
Look in the mirror and say, I love myself.
Yeah.
Isn't that like Narcissus did? Like one of the false god. And he's looking at his...
I love you, Nicolai, into the mirror.
I love you, Richard. Oh, I love you so much. I love you with my whole heart. The devil's making a fool out of people. Sigmund Freud and the apostate Jews invented this shit's laughing at you because they don't go for it. They know it's goofy. And they got you guys running around doing all the stupid crap.
Yeah.
Let me give you a big hug. Maybe you feel a lot better. I feel a lot better because I got a big bear hug today. We're not against normal hugs. We are not against that. But this is crazy stuff. It's crazy. It's like I don't know if you pass by like about most of the stuff. If you just pass it to Attila the Hun, pass it by him and say, Attila, what do you think about all of this? Your ass would be dead before. He'd say, What this? Kill him! This is crazy. I'm Attila the Hun. I got a natural plane even. The pagan Rome. Kill the bastard. What is he talking about here? It's just weird. Take his head off. Imagine that. Oh, let me. You know, I guarantee you, like, if I came up with the commercial, and I'm able to do it, Happy Pills. And I can make it. I say, I got some stuff in here. I'm telling you, it really works. And I have a couple testimonies. I can't tell you everything that's in here, but it's a mystical blend. It goes back to the time of Egypt and Alexandria by the Nile. And they had stuff. I call it happy pills. Back then they called it like joyful pills, you know, to lift your depression. And I got these pills right now. And I'm telling you, they work. It's unbelievable. It's like you don't got to do all this stuff. You just take the pill. Look, okay, here's some testimonies. I took Ibrani's happy pills and boy, I'm so happy. I've been sad a day in my life. So I take one every day. I think these people, I mean, you look at the RAD and the networks, they advertise all kinds of, they advertise stuff all the time. Constant advertising stuff all over the place. Advertising. And it's similar to that. Like you take this, you're going to be healthier. You take that, your brain thing's gonna get better. You take this and you take that and you take my pills and their pills are always better than the other guy's pill. He's got the big solution. And these people, when they advertise like that, it's a sin. It's sinful capitalism. You just undermine your whole position. Diamond Brothers advertising. Imagine me advertising. In the way they ask for money, they get everyone to ask for ties because that's the right way to do it. But they'd rather beg like and get out there and have advertisements. Right? So these people's out here and they're advertising. And I go, you're a whore. You're a whore. You're out here to make money. Everything you just said here, you're doing because you want to make money. Oh, no, I believe what I'm saying, but I want to make money. The minute you mix those two things together, it doesn't go. And they're all that. I tell you, but probably like one-third of their show is advertisement. And they all do their own stuff now. You watch it. They all got their own thing. They're selling something. You know, simple capitalism. Oh, and they all love to write books. Their latest book. Did you get my latest book? Did you get my latest book? I spoke. Father Gruner says he gives it 5 stars. The time I probably said, out of 100 stars, remember I said that 5 stars. Out of 100. They do all. Hey, get my new book. It's okay. It's okay to advertise a book if it's a good book or something. There's a way to do it. But these people decide. Oh, simple capitalism is even worse than communism. Communism's bad, but not as bad as simple capitalism.
Yeah.
Simple capitalism's sneaky. Mm-hmm. Sneaky. So now we gave her a lecture. That's it.
Okay.